We're talking now with the chairman of the Texas Cattle Feeder Association, Scott Anderson. Scott, tell me a little bit, maybe a little bit about your operation. You're, of course, in the Oklahoma Panhandle.
Yes, sir. Yeah, our feed yard is out in the Guymon area, out in the Panhandle. We're a privately owned commercial cattle feeding operation out there. We hold about 40,000 cattle or so. We call them guests in our hotel. our customers are from all across the U.S., from the California to the Carolinas and south along the Gulf Coast and back into, you know, Texas and New Mexico. And been out there for, since the late 60s.
So, I mean, in all that time, obviously cattle feeding has changed a lot. How you've worked with customers, I'm sure, has changed a lot as well.
Yes. You know, once upon a time, we thought this was somewhat of a mature industry. But, you know, the events of the last 10 or 12 years, it's a new day every day. Mm-hmm. Lots of, new technologies have come into play that, have helped us become more efficient and do our job better, quite frankly. And then just other things that happening in the whole context of our world, we're a global market now. Mm-hmm. And that's probably been, the biggest thing, the role that exports play in everything that we do.
You know, obviously, as you became chairman, we were looking at unprecedented times in our country, and the cattle industry was swept up in that with the pandemic and the problems with our packers. Because of all of that, how has that impacted your feedlot and the feedlots that you represent under the TCFA banner?
It's, as you mentioned, it's been a very, very unique set of circumstances. Mm-hmm. We all know about the cattle cycles that happen over time, and we've gone back and looked at, starting, say, in the mid-70s, there's been four major, cattle cycles, the ups and downs. Well, looking at those patterns, it appears that last summer, the summer of 2020, was the bottom of the current cycle. So we're starting to work our way out of that now. So there were several things that happened along there that made that somewhat of a perfect storm last year. Back in 2019, we had the fire at the Holcomb plant in Kansas, and that created a little bit of a, market disruption. It did have a somewhat predictable path to recovery also, and we were just about over that hump in, the early part of 2020 when the pandemic began. And so that has turned out to be the longest, market-impacting event in history, I believe, and we're still not past that yet. The good side of things is the market is starting to work its way out of there. Where last summer we did an outstanding job as a beef industry of working through the backlog, getting the supply chain filled back up again, and we're coming out of some peak numbers too in terms of live cattle. And so we're about to work through some of those numbers too. So leverage should start shifting back in our favor to help rebalance, some of these, margins and right. And those things. So we're feeling better about where we're headed.
I guess the operative word, or one of those $5 words we're throwing around these days, is leverage.
Yes.
And the leverage has been with the packers because of their lack of labor supply and so a lot of other things and abundant cattle. But tightening supplies seem to be here.
Yes. Yeah, it sure feels like that we're 60, 90 days maybe from being able to get on the other side of that hill. Mm-hmm. And once we do, and we're already seeing the effects of that. If you look at what the calf markets, current calf markets are, current feeder markets are, mm-hmm. Those values have moved back to levels we haven't seen since about 2015. Right. And so there's lots of optimism in the market as we start to build towards those.
I remember a TCFA meeting about that 2015 time period that the talk in the hallways was just the unprecedented closeouts that a lot of these pens of cattle were having at that time. And I know at least a couple of guys that I knew, they were talking about, well, we're not going to see this anytime soon, like this ever again.
Yeah, and that it's a supply and demand driven world, and in commodity 101, that's what happens. There's mm-hmm. we overproduce for a while, markets correct. We are very good at responding to market signals. Mm-hmm. That's the core of what production ag is, and when there's a need, we work to respond collectively, and then sometimes we overshoot the runway a little bit and right. Things have to correct.
So last summer, Denver, meeting of the cattle producers, came up with this 75% plan, was developed, that we've had a couple of quarters under our belt now. Southern Plains has been, you know, one of the really scrutinized very, very closely, but seems like feedlots within the TCFA area have responded.
Yes, sir. Yeah, our membership in that area and all of the yards in that area have really worked to, you know, try to help support the voluntary effort. You know, we believe wholeheartedly that a voluntary effort will be long-term, much more of a sustainable solution than anything that could be, you know, handed down from the government side of things. Mm-hmm. And so far we've been able to, you know, meet the obligations. You know, there's still a lot of strange things happening as far as the market dynamics out there that we have to deal with on an ongoing basis working out of the pandemic. Right. And as we mentioned, you know, the leverage piece is still out of balance, but should be starting to come back into our favor over the next several months.
Right. I know that, of course, a lot of discussion about these AMAs, the alternative marketing agreements, and there are those that want to make it kind of a four-letter word almost, it seems like. But, you know, from your perspective, I know that you've probably got at least some of these type of arrangements that you've got customers that feed cattle that way, that brought some cattle that have had those extra steps of management on them that allow you to look at premiums on certain pens.
Yes, the if we think back into the 80s and 90s when there was maybe $35 to $40 of total margin that was shared between the cow-calf, the stocker, the feed yard, and the packing plant. And the incentive at that time was just to get cattle good enough to market. And consequently, demand was faltering because we had, you know, a high percentage of select product going into the market, and just the eating experience for our customer was not as predictable as what it should have been. As we started to recognize that and correct and build more quality into the system, we were able to grow demand and consequently reward the cow-calf producer for their efforts in enhancing their genetics. And these AMAs are a great way to do that. It rewards quality, and quality in, quality out is, you know, a common thing. Mm. And that has done a tremendous job in growing not only our domestic demand for our product, but our global demand for our product.
Right. Finally, you know, you're, of course, going through the officer chairs with TCFA right now, and your chairman's address will be in Oklahoma City, the fall meeting, annual meeting of Texas Cattle Feeders, early November, downtown at the new Omni.
Yes, sir, and we're excited to have the opportunity to bring everybody back together. You know, obviously last year we had to do our convention in a virtual fashion, which was, you know, very well attended, and but it's just not as much fun as when you can get everybody together and be able to sit down and visit about things. And yes, we're in October, we're looking forward to being here in downtown Oklahoma City and being able to bring everybody together and all of the fellowship and everything that goes along with that.
Right. I know that one of the things you'll probably be doing would be giving kind of a vision or a little bit of where you see maybe the cattle industry is and where it's going, you know, as far as the feedlot end of the business. Give us a preview of what you think you might be sharing there in October.
Well, that's a great question. We'll have, you know, several speakers to help set the stage for where we're going with all of that. You know, I guess as personally, as I look forward, I really am enthused thinking about our ability to produce a quality product. Mm-hmm. And the role that a safe, nutritious, nutrient-dense protein like beef has to offer to the consumer, not only adults, but especially for children. There's so much research coming out about, you know, the quality of the protein that kids consume early in life and what a benefit that is to their health and growth and all those related things, you know, as they move on through life. And so very excited about being able to be in a role that helps to promote that thing, that those issues and the quality product that we produce.